Hello and welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from The Last Thing. And something a little different today. I usually put these recordings out in an office setting, but it got a little noisy around the house today, so I've decided to come on out to the open air. I'm sitting at a lakeside and with trees and stuff all around. Very nice setting. See what it's like to record out here. Not sure what the audio quality will be. I'd like to hear maybe from you if you think it's better or worse to do it on the phone rather than on my PC with Audacity. That's the name of a program, not describing myself. Anyway, we're talking about the rapture of the church. I won't go back into all the little details of what we've been studying here. I'd like you to go back to number 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on. But for today, we're talking about supposed distinctions between the rapture and the revelation or the return of Jesus. And I say supposed because I don't believe there are any distinctions. I believe it's the same event. I believe it happens all at one time. Nevertheless, we've got to address these things because there are people out there, a whole lot of them, that believe Jesus comes before the tribulation. 7 years later, he comes after the tribulation. So we have more than a second coming. We have a second coming and a third coming, according to these folks. But it is disappointing to read the works of men that are normally trustworthy in their treatment of Scripture when it comes to their promotion of a pre-tribulation rapture. I want you to consider today our brother Dave Hunt. Now, Dave Hunt is no lightweight in the word. I say is, we should say was, because he went to be with the Lord in 2013. I consider him a man of God. Over and over, his publications defined New Testament Christianity and its enemies. Boy, talking about the Roman Catholic Church and all of that. Dave Hunt was a good guy, all right? But on the subject at hand, I believe he fell woefully short of exemplifying his Berean philosophy. Berean, meaning the church of Berea, that Paul said that they were just so much better than the others because they checked things out, you know, and that's why people call themselves a Berean society or the Berean whatever, as did Dave Hunt. And normally, yes, he did check things out. But Brother Hunt saw distinctions between the rapture and the second coming. He described them in his October 2003 Berean call. I'd like to comment on those distinctions with a reminder, again, that I mean absolutely no disrespect to this great man of the word, seriously. But distinction one, at the rapture, according to Dave Hunt, and he's just representative of many who believe this, according to him, at the rapture, Christ does not return to earth. Okay? But at the second coming, he does. As proof, he offers the words of Jesus in John 14:3. Where it says, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Then he quotes Paul, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, certainly our brother does not suggest that Jesus remains suspended in the air with his people. That is, you know, the atmosphere above our earth constantly for those 7 years. We all assume that at this point, when the saints are gathered, Jesus either goes back up to heaven or completes his journey by just coming on down to earth. Does it seem logical that Jesus would have to descend partway to us to collect us? But why not just give the word from the throne room itself? But setting logic aside, we have only statements of fact. And both of those quoted statements of Mr. Hunt tell us that when we leave here, We go to be with Jesus, and we remain with him forever. Now, no other point, especially a geographical point, can be extracted from those scriptures. You have to believe in the pre-trib rapture before you read those scriptures, and then you put that thought in there. It's called eisegesis. It's an argument from silence. It's not exegesis. Since the text does not state here which way Jesus goes, Dave assumes that he goes up, because that fits the theory, and it is a theory. True Bereans, as those originals in Acts chapter 17, they search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things be so. My brother Berean, I wish he had compared scripture with scripture here. Look at Matthew 24, 30 and 31. Compare it to the passage that Dave used in that Thessalonian letter. In both passages are clouds, angels, a trumpet, and a gathering. One is supposed to be the rapture, one is supposed to be the return. What distinction can be drawn? Consider 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 7. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. By the way, if we add in more of Paul's supposed rapture teaching from 1 Corinthians 15, we find that that trumpet is the last trumpet. That ties it in with Revelation 11:15, where the seventh and final trumpet is sounded at a time that is clearly the end of all things, the return. There cannot be another trumpet after that. And yet Matthew 24, which is supposedly written about a period 7 years in the future from his first coming, the rapture, it mentions another trumpet. Something, that is the number of trumpets, doesn't add up. Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31. After the tribulation, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. They'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. There's the clouds again. And he will send his angels. There's the angels with a great sound of a trumpet. There's the trumpet again. And they'll gather together. That's a gathering. That's a rapture. His elect from one end of heaven to the other. Paul knew the teachings about the second coming of Christ. He knew that they involved angels and trumpets and clouds and a gathering. Is it likely that in this already confused Thessalonian church, he would introduce the same terminology that's used for the second coming of Christ without spelling out his meaning? That this coming is separate from the others? In fact, he did spell it out in 2 Thessalonians, but not to the liking of a pre-trib scholar, for sure. Let's look at Acts 1, verses 9 to 11, normally considered a second coming promise. Jesus ascends into heaven, and a cloud receives him out of their sight. Angels promise that when Jesus descends, it'll be in the same manner. As John repeats, "Lo, he comes with the clouds, and every eye shall see him," Revelation 1:7. It fits the pattern. Jesus comes down, and in the context of Acts, he sets up his kingdom. And like nails drawn to a magnet, his own are drawn to him at that time. Revelation 19:11-15, another picture of the second coming, is portrayed. And here is conquering King Jesus, and behind him, the armies of heaven, the saints and angels of God. Now, how do we learn horseback riding in the sky so quickly? How do we appear as a victorious army so quickly? Without a 7-year preparation in heaven, they ask. No instructions? No advance notice? Well, the answer to that question, which is still hidden from us, is the same as the answer to the question, how shall we even rise up to meet him in the air? with untried new bodies and absolutely no experience off the ground on our own power, somehow we'll know what to do in that day. As for the ensuing battle, you will see that the believers do not have a lot to do anyway. This is the day of God's wrath. God himself, through Jesus, will mete it out through the one that he has ordained. We'll watch in reverent fear, mixed with joy, that he has saved us from this wrath. Oh, what a day. It's my guess that at the point of the gathering, there will be at least a short interval of time for Jesus to welcome us and give us a quick briefing about what's coming up. The sign of the Son of Man is seen long enough on earth for people to get the message and mourn before the actual coming. But 7 years? Look again. It's not there. Here's a second distinction. We're told that at the rapture, all believers are resurrected, whereas at the second coming, there is no resurrection until Antichrist is defeated. Now, this is called begging the question, using your preconceived conclusion as proof of your conclusion. Earlier, I showed you from Revelation 19, an army behind Jesus, meeting him in the air. And they've just been resurrected. They're on their way to conquer the earth. Dave cannot believe that they are fresh from the graves. So he assumes they've been with Jesus 7 years and therefore are not resurrected. But his theory calls for more than the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation that's called for by Jesus. Two resurrections for sure coming. But Dave's theory and their theory demands a third resurrection, for he sees one in Revelation 20, verses 4 to 6. Now, John did not always relate things in order, sometimes by topic. And he states in chapter 20 that the persons he sees are part of the first resurrection. He doesn't see a resurrection, but he sees the ones who have been resurrected. That means there was no resurrection 7 years before, except in the Hollywood-style movies of our own generation. John is saying here that he saw thrones set up after Antichrist is judged. The reign with Christ that's foretold here is for all those who suffer with Jesus. Romans 8:17. If we suffer with him, we are heirs with Christ. Well, the whole creation is awaiting our reign. In 8:19. 2 Timothy 2:12. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. Revelation 5:10 quotes the elders, those who have gone on before us, as saying, we shall reign on the earth. And so in talking of the thrones, he brings in a description of the persecuted saints who reign with Jesus. He's not implying that the whole army following Jesus is not a resurrected entity. He's in fact in perfect harmony with Daniel 7. Look at it, verses 25 to 27. He, this is the Antichrist, little horn, shall persecute the saints of the Most High. Then the saints shall be given into his hand. That's tribulation. For a time, and times, and half a time. That's the same 3.5 years of John's revelation. But the court shall be seated. Judgment. It's judgment. And the greatness of the kingdoms shall be given to the saints of the Most High. There's your resurrection. So there are two resurrections coming, for sure. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Revelation chapter 20. Verses 4 and 5. The first, and then the second. The first, when Jesus comes to earth. The second, 1,000 years later, the resurrection of the damned. By calling this pre-tribulation event a rapture, the fact that it is a resurrection is covered up. But added to the two resurrections of Revelation 20, well, that's just one too many. How about distinction three before we quit today? Immortality, says Brother Hunt, is given believers at the rapture.
but at the second coming, they already obviously have it. Here again, the normally logical, he was strong, so strong in defending the word, but he breaks the rules of logic by using the conclusion to prove his point. He sees it as utterly impossible for saints to be raised, glorified, immortalized, and coming back to earth in so short a time. He forgets, maybe, what happened on Resurrection Day, commonly called Easter. Jesus, in his new body, began immediately to do the work that God called him to do, though he had been dead for 3 days. In our new bodies that are made after the image of Christ, there'll be placed new instincts, skills, powers. A simple flight to Jesus does not seem all that complicated for a God who can speak worlds into existence and raise up Christ from the dead in an instant. We shall all rise. We shall be changed. It'll happen in a moment. It'll happen in the twinkling of an eye. And since Dave brought up 1 Corinthians 15 here, we can't resist looking at how similar this passage in verses 50 to 54 is to Matthew 24. Do you see it? The dead are raised. They're caught up to be with Jesus. There's a trumpet, the last trumpet, as in Revelation 11:15, where the reign of Christ on earth begins with the judgment of this world, followed by the reward of the saints. Where is the distinction? It's all the same event. I'll leave it at that one this time. This is a long section, so we'll do the next session. We will finish this section about the distinctions. Again, I just have to keep saying, I mean absolutely no disrespect to this dear, dear brother. He's given us so much of value in the things that he wrote. Well, will you check out other things on my site today? There's a lot of audios about North Korea. I do hope that you've taken advantage of this already. And just to get yourself in a mentality to pray for these people. Things are coming to a head over there. I don't know which way it's going to go, but we've got to be praying. We've really got to be praying that God's perfect will be done and that God's people over there will get a break. You know what I mean? It's been so long for them. So long. Well, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk again soon. Bye-bye.